Welcome to episode 1 of Allegedly Evident. This is the Burger Chef murder series. Let's get started with part 1, bite-sized beginnings.
Frank Porter Thomas Sr., born in 1876 with an appetite for adventure, embarked on a remarkable journey that unfolded like a captivating story. At the tender age of 14, he bid farewell to formal education, venturing into the world with his brother. The duo, armed with determination and grit, found themselves constructing structures for circuses. By the time Frank Sr. turned 20, he and his brother had birthed their contracting firm. Unbeknownst to them, this would be the foundation for a legacy defying conventional limits. The circus community catalyzed Frank Sr.'s ascent, connecting him with entrepreneurs who recognized his creativity and resourcefulness. They began contracting him to build carnival rides that pushed the boundaries. In 1910, Frank Sr. left an indelible mark on Indiana, constructing the state's first roller coaster in a park between Peru and Wabash. Life took a romantic turn for him in 1917 when he married Blanche Gilbert. Together, they welcomed Frank Porter Thomas Jr. into the world on June 15, 1919. Frank Sr.'s creative prowess extended beyond roller coasters, leading him to play a pivotal role in the development of Coney Island near Cincinnati. The amusement park landscape became his canvas, and his attractions mesmerized those seeking thrills. In pursuit of roots, the Thomas family migrated to Indiana and found themselves at Riverside Park. On May 13, 1926, Frank Sr. etched his name in history by patenting the world's first fun house. This innovation marked a new era in amusement park experiences. Frank Sr., not one to rest on his laurels, introduced another groundbreaking creation, a snow cone machine, powered by one of the earliest ice shaving technologies. The success of these ventures fueled his grand vision, and in 1929, he invested 6 months in constructing a beach resort. The grandeur of this establishment included a massive pier hosting marathon races and a motordrome. In this bowl-shaped pit, a fearless motorcyclist would defy gravity, accompanied by a formidable lion at its center, growling in challenge. However, fate dealt a harsh blow with the stock market crash and unfavorable agricultural conditions in the West, leading to the failure of the grand opening. Despite the setback, Frank Sr.'s legacy was a testament to his unparalleled creativity and resilience in adversity. His story, woven with threads of innovation and determination, remains a source of inspiration for future generations. The resilient Frank Sr. found himself at a crossroads once more, packing up his family. Their destination, Indianapolis, a city that would become the backdrop for the next chapter in the Porter family saga. In the heart of Indianapolis, a man named Pop Spencer owned a drive-in known as the North Pole. Inspired by the Varsity Drive in near Georgia Tech University in Atlanta, the establishment gained fame for its frozen custard, a delightful treat that captivated patrons' taste buds. Frank Sr., ever fascinated by the intricacies of machines and their boundless potential, set his sights on the North Pole. Driven by curiosity, Frank Sr. approached Spencer, seeking insights into the inner workings of the frozen custard machine. However, Pop, wary of potential competition, staunchly guarded his secrets, refusing to divulge any information, even withholding the manufacturer's label. Undeterred, Frank Sr. drew upon his experience with stainless steel from his amusement park endeavors and relied on a fleeting memory of the wooden machine. Armed with determination, Frank Sr. created what he believed to be a superior stainless steel version of the frozen custard machine. His innovation, aptly named Easy Way, showcased his technical acumen and underscored his commitment to pushing the boundaries of what was possible. True to his entrepreneurial spirit, Frank Sr. secured a patent for his improved creation, laying the foundation for a venture redefining the landscape of frozen treats. The first Easy Way machine found its home at the North Pole and was sold to Spencer as a testament to the spirit of innovation. The second machine reached the Teepee Restaurant, a local establishment near the Indiana State Fairgrounds. It is renowned for its double-decker sandwich called the Big Chief, a borrowed concept from Bob's Big Boy in California. The success of the Easy Way machine didn't stop there. Several more found eager homes and drive-ins scattered around the city, beginning a frozen custard revolution. Frank Sr.'s journey, marked by resilience, ingenuity, and a thirst for knowledge, continued to shape his family's destiny and the frozen custard industry itself. In 1933, the narrative took an exciting turn with the entry of Frank Jr. into the fold. Having honed his skills assisting his father in amusement park rides, the teenage Frank Jr. was drawn to the mesmerizing world of machines. His role as a repairman alongside his father laid the groundwork for a journey that would see him become a pioneer in invention. Undeterred by the challenges, Frank Jr. embarked on a project showcasing his ingenuity and mechanical prowess, transforming a discarded 1925 Ford Model T from the junkyard into their first service vehicle. He became the troubleshooter for the fledgling machines. The salt, dirt, and sand, used for cooling, posed a persistent issue by clogging drain holes. In response, Frank Jr., at the tender age of 14, proposed a solution, a small impeller to keep the sand suspended, preventing machine clogs. This ingenious idea marked his inaugural invention, securing a patent and setting the stage for a legacy of innovation. With a growing portfolio of machines, including complete concession trailers, the Thomas family hit the road, traveling to fairs to showcase and sell their creations. In 1937, Frank Jr. achieved a milestone by graduating from Shortridge High School, setting the stage for the next chapter in his intellectual journey. Fueled by a thirst for knowledge, Frank Jr. pursued a major in chemical engineering at Purdue University. However, the challenges posed by undiagnosed dyslexia prompted a shift, leading him to pursue a degree in mechanical engineering and then minoring in mechanical refrigeration during his senior year. He was the only student specializing in mechanical refrigeration. He became an illustrator and editor for one of the first textbooks on mechanical engineering alongside his professor, H.G. Veneman. Meanwhile, in the Annuals of Culinary History, 1937 witnessed the visionary inception of Maurice and Richard McDonald's adventure with the Aerodrome restaurant beside the Monrovia Airport. The modest octagonal structure became the canvas for their culinary experiments, laying the groundwork for a journey redefining the fast food landscape. By 1940, the McDonald brothers transplanted their culinary vision to San Bernardino, California, giving birth to McDonald's famous barbecue. Initially conceived as a barbecue drive-in, the winds of change blew in a new direction when the brothers discerned a shifting profit tide toward hamburgers. The stage was set for a transformative pivot that would alter the course of fast food history. In 1941, armed with newfound knowledge, Frank Jr. graduated and accepted a fellowship at Lehigh University in Pennsylvania. However, the winds of war altered his trajectory, and following the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor, Frank Jr. was drafted into military service. Before leaving for his fellowship, he had been set up with Jill Hollingberry through his friend Tom Ferguson, and in 1942, amidst the chaos of war, Frank Jr. married Jill. During Frank Jr.'s military service, his financial support facilitated his father's acquisition of several lots on the west side of Indianapolis. The goal was to establish a manufacturing facility. And by the war's end, the family's vision came to fruition with the birth of the General Equipment Company. Frank Jr., now a captain at age 25, returned to Indiana in 1944, ready to embark on a new chapter with his wife. The General Equipment Company, born out of wartime endeavors, would become a formidable force in shaping the future of the culinary landscape. Armed with innovation and an insatiable curiosity, Frank Jr. emerged as a partner in the General Equipment Company, setting the stage for a transformative journey that would leave an indelible mark on the fast food industry in Indianapolis and beyond. In the meantime, a pivotal moment arrived in October 1948, as the McDonald's Brother restaurant underwent a 3-month hiatus. Once a symbol of success, the traditional car hop service faded into oblivion, creating an audacious concept, a self-serve establishment. Emerging on December 12, 1948, under the streamlined name McDonald's, the revamped walk-up hamburger stand heralded a minimalist menu that would shape the future of fast food. Hamburgers, potato chips, and orange juice formed the initial triumvirate, expanding in 1949 to include French fries and Coca-Cola. Inspired by assembly line principles, the McDonald brothers forged a model delivering hamburgers at significantly lower prices than their sit-down counterparts. In the intricate tapestry of Frank Jr.'s entrepreneurial journey, a crucial chapter unfolded during Frank Sr.'s organizational challenges. 2 months shy of the war's end, Robert E. Wildman, Frank Jr.'s brother-in-law, made a pivotal decision. Turning down an offer at U.S. Gypsum in Richmond, Indiana, Robert, equipped with a degree in business administration from Butler University, his expertise to Frank Sr., bringing much-needed order to the General Equipment Company's chaotic bookkeeping by becoming the office manager in charge of sales, purchasing, ordering, and payroll. Amidst the family dynamics, Donald Lee Thomas, Frank Jr.'s younger brother by 2 years, pursued an engineering degree at Purdue University. His engineering prowess led him to assume the role of Vice President of Engineering within General Equipment Company. In this capacity, he spearheaded the development and maintenance of cutting-edge equipment packages. With the sands of time shifting, Frank Sr. retired in 1946 at 70, passing the torch to Frank Jr., who assumed the mantle of president. The landscape of culinary innovation beckoned, and the General Equipment Company found itself at the crossroads of a transformative opportunity. In a serendipitous twist, a California salesman sought to elevate the offerings of businesses in the West by introducing Dairy Queen-style soft-serve ice cream to their menus. The existing machines, however, needed more finesse to produce individual cones. Enter Frank Jr. and Donald. Leveraging the ingenuity inherited from Frank Sr., drawing inspiration from the original designs, the dynamic duo devised a revolutionary lever and spigot attachment. The result was the birth of the Sani Serve, a groundbreaking machine capable of churning out a single serving of soft serve ice cream with a lever pull. This invention marked the inception of the first patented soft serve ice cream machine, forever altering the frozen treat landscape. However, the General Equipment Company faced a unique challenge in its home state of Indiana. The state legislature, protective of its vital dairy farming business, mandated that any product containing less than 10% butterfat could not be labeled ice cream. Undeterred, Frank Jr. navigated this obstacle, steering the company towards innovation that transcended boundaries. In 1952, a lucky incident involving a waitress and a milkshake sparked another breakthrough. A modified version of the soft-serve ice cream machine emerged, designed to produce ready-to-consume milkshakes. The collaboration between Robert and professors from the University of Illinois bore fruit in 1953, the birth of the Sani Shake. This innovative machine, resistant to freezing to a solid form, streamlined the milkshake-making process, reducing labor costs and offering a product fit for year-round consumption. The General Equipment Company, under the visionary leadership of Frank Jr., stood as a beacon of the culinary revolution, leaving an indelible mark on the frozen treat industry. The legacy of the Sani Serve and Sani Shake machines echoed through time, a testament to the family's unwavering commitment to ingenuity, overcoming challenges, and reshaping how we enjoy frozen delights. While that was happening, in 1953, the McDonald brothers embarked on franchising, spreading the McDonald's concept far and wide with their commitment to the rapid revolution. The birth of McDonald's was not merely about hamburgers. It was a saga of innovation, adaptability, and an unwavering commitment to crafting a novel dining experience. The McDonald brothers' ingenious approach to food preparation, influenced by assembly line efficiency, laid the groundwork for the rise of subsequent fast food giants. Their narrative echoes through the corridors of time as a testament to the transformative power of visionary thinking, forever imprinting McDonald's name on the global tapestry of fast food innovation. At the same time, Amidst the sweltering summer of 1953, the culinary landscape of Jacksonville, Florida, experienced a seismic shift as Keith J. Kramer and Matthew Burns embarked on a bold venture into the natural fast food glory. Taking cues from the pioneering success of McDonald's, this dynamic duo envisioned their place in the industry, giving birth to the revolutionary concept of Insta Burger King. Fueled by a vibrant vision for innovation, Kramer and Burns set out to establish a restaurant chain that matched and surpassed the swift service offered by their fast food predecessors. Their secret weapon in this culinary quest was the introduction of advanced technology equipment known as Insta-broilers. These cutting-edge cooking devices promised efficient and rapid preparation of hamburgers, paired with a compelling spectacle for eager customers. On July 23, 1953, the scent of sizzling patties and the promise of something new permeated the air as Insta Burger King opened its doors for the first time. The Insta Broiler, an engineering marvel, allowed for simultaneous cooking on both sides while expertly toasting the buns, a spectacle that captivated onlookers and set the stage for a new era in fast food service. Complementing the Insta-broiler was the Insta-shake machine, a companion designed to streamline operations and elevate the overall customer experience. With a capacity to churn out over 400 patties per hour, the Insta-broiler became the backbone of the rapidly growing company, contributing significantly to its success. More than mere kitchen accessories, Insta-broilers became the heartbeat of every Insta-Burger King restaurant, embodying the spirit of efficiency and innovation that defined the brand. The wire basket design of the Insta-broiler added a touch of theatrics to the culinary process, transforming a routine task into a mesmerizing performance. Insta-Burger King began etching its mark on the fast food landscape as the distinctive aroma of burgers filled the air. Kramer and Burns' commitment to providing a meal and an experience resonated with customers, propelling the chain into rapid growth and franchise expansion. The duo's daring quest for fast food glory, epitomized by the Insta-broilers, became a beacon of efficiency and innovation, forever altering the culinary narrative and securing Insta-Burger King's place in the annals of fast food history. On December 4, 1954, the gastronomic landscape witnessed a pivotal moment as James McLemore and David Edgerton inaugurated the first Insta-Burger King franchise in Miami, Florida, marking the birth of the first Burger King. As these pioneers navigated the intricacies of the fast food industry, a formidable hurdle emerged: the limitations of existing broiler technology. The Insta-broilers, the backbone of their operation, faced a critical challenge with a vertical conveyor belt, causing deformities in hamburgers and posing a fire hazard due to the unprotected cowl rod heating elements. It was a test of metal for James and David. Enter David Edgerton, a visionary with a penchant for problem solving. His ingenious solution revolutionized the culinary landscape. This innovation, born out of necessity, would become integral to the Burger King legacy, transcending technical obstacles and elevating the cooking process to new heights. In 1956, armed with David's groundbreaking invention, James and David sought the expertise of Frank Jr. While the General Equipment Company lacked experience in building broilers, a unique clause set the stage for collaboration. The agreement dictated that the General Equipment Company would patent and manufacture David's design, and in return, they could sell to anyone except businesses in Florida, to avoid competition with James and David. However, Frank Jr. envisioned a different design, allowing him to sell to anyone, anywhere. Frank Jr. shared his vision with Donald, birthing the Sawney Broiler, a gas-powered marvel with a cutting-edge strategy that emerged as a culinary engineering masterpiece. Unlike its predecessors, the Sawney Broiler could flame grill beef patties with unparalleled efficiency, boasting a capacity to broil 1,400 patties per hour while toasting an equal number of buns, with reflected heat and steam. Over time, the Sawney Broiler underwent upgrades, evolving to cook over 2,000 hamburgers in an hour. In 1957, the Sawney Broiler took center stage as Burger King proudly unveiled the iconic Whopper sandwich. Flame-grilled to perfection, the Whopper became synonymous with Burger King's commitment to quality and innovation. The Sawney broiler's impact extended beyond the kitchen. It symbolized Burger King's identity, setting the brand apart in the competitive fast food world. The journey from the Insta-broiler's limitations to the Sawney broiler's triumph was not just a technological revolution. It encapsulated Burger King's ethos of overcoming challenges and shaping the culinary narrative with unparalleled creativity and innovation. In the spring of 1957, the General Equipment Company embarked on a visionary journey, inaugurating its first demonstration store at Little America Amusement Park in Indianapolis. This strategic move allowed them to unveil their state-of-the-art food service machines in practical operation. The birth of the walk-up hamburger stand, aptly named Burger Chef, quickly became a triumph, leading to the establishment of another location in Kokomo, Indiana, by June of the same year. As the aroma of success wafted through the air, investors were eager to acquire Burger Chef franchises. Frank Jr., alongside Donald and Robert, delved into discussions about franchising Burger Chef. In a strategic move, they decided to create a new division within the General Equipment Company, aptly named Burger Chef, focusing on providing each franchise with a comprehensive line of machines. The Thomas brothers and Robert formed a strategic partnership, assuming leadership roles aligned with their skills. Frank Jr. took on the mantle of president and principal spokesperson, leveraging his expertise to steer the brand's narrative. Donald directed his skills towards overseeing equipment development, ensuring technological innovation remained at the core of Burger Chef. Robert took charge of financing, franchising, and leasing of locations. They weren't alone in this venture. John Wyatt joined as a fourth partner, bringing his expertise to assist with the crucial task of franchising. Drawing inspiration from McDonald's success, the trio strategically modeled Burger Chef after the renowned fast food giant, incorporating McDonald's self-service format and menu into their operations. As architectural blueprints materialized, the design of Burger Chef restaurants became a vibrant canvas of turquoise, orange, and white. Architect Harry E. Cooler was enlisted to create a distinctive diamond-shaped roof arch, bringing a visual identity to life. The street sign, a creation of the Great Sign Company, stood as a massive steel structure illuminated with neon light. With plans finalized for the building and street sign, Burger Chef Systems was officially incorporated in 1958, and the first Burger Chef restaurant opened its doors in Indianapolis in the spring of the same year. The stage was set for Burger Chef's ascent in the fast food industry. In 1959, Insta Burger King started experiencing financial difficulties. Franchisers James McLemore and David Edgerton purchased the Insta Burger King chain and renamed it Burger King. In 1960, inspired by the suggestion of Jack Roshman, a state franchise owner in Ohio, Burger Chef's focus shifted to opening restaurants in smaller towns, directly challenging McDonald's dominance. The strategy proved successful, propelling Burger Chef from 73 restaurants to the second largest fast food chain with 440 restaurants by 1966. In a bold move to solidify Burger Chef's presence in the market, Frank Jr. renamed the General Equipment Company to Sawney Serve in 1967. The brand reached a significant milestone in the same year with 584 restaurants in the United States, and ambitious plans were in place to open 1,000 more by 1970. However, fate took an unexpected turn in 1967, when Pillsbury acquired Burger King for $18 million, including 274 restaurants, putting Burger Chef at a financial disadvantage. To stay competitive, Burger Chef accepted a $25 million offer from General Foods in 1968, a larger packaged food company. The deal included 730 restaurants across 39 states. Frank Jr. remained with Burger Chef as president, albeit part-time. By 1969, General Foods initiated an international expansion, and Burger Chef celebrated a significant milestone by opening its 1,000th restaurant in Treasure Island, Florida. Despite these triumphs, challenges loomed on the horizon. In 1970, Frank Jr. left the company, and in 1972, General Foods announced a $47 million write-off, primarily due to underperforming restaurants in unfavorable locations. Burger Chef responded by strategically reducing restaurants to approximately 900, retaining only the best sites. Innovation remained at the forefront of Burger Chef's strategy. The brand introduced salad bars, customizable hamburgers with toppings like tomatoes and pickles, new building designs, and the iconic Fun Burger, featuring puzzles and a small toy. In 1973, Burger Chef became the first fast food chain to offer a kid's meal by introducing the Fun Meal, which included a burger, fries, a cookie, and a small toy. The packaging featured stories about Burger Chef and Jeff's adventures, introducing characters like Burgerini, Count Fangburger, Burgerilla, and more. Despite these innovative efforts, Burger Chef faced challenges in maintaining its market share. In 1976, the brand aimed to stay relevant by being the first to introduce cross-promotions with the movie industry and collaborating with Dino De Laurentiis Company for King Kong glasses. In 1977, Terrence Collins, a former McDonald's vice president, was appointed as the new president and chief operating officer of Burger Chef. Collins implemented several changes, including introducing a new logo, building design, revamped menu, breakfast service, and strategic advertising. Burger Chef also collaborated with 20th Century Fox for Star Wars franchise tie-ins, featuring fast food premiums with Star Wars-themed posters and fun meal boxes that children could use to build cardboard land speeders, X-wing fighters, and droids. Promotional Monster Fun Records during Halloween added a colorful touch to the brand's offerings. These changes resulted in increased sales, marking a period of triumph and growth for Burger Chef. Yet, despite its history of innovation and adaptation, an unforeseen tragedy struck, casting a dark shadow over Burger Chef's once promising future. The story unfolds on the fateful night of November 17, 1978, a haunting event that remains unsolved. Four young and promising individuals were among the victims: Jane, Ruth, Mark, and Daniel. Once considered ideal, well-loved, and happy, these employees saw their dreams abruptly shattered in the face of an unimaginable tragedy. Jane Carroll Freed, a radiant soul born on May 2, 1958, brought sunshine to the lives of Carolyn and George Freed. She grew up with her sister, Joanne, and three brothers, James, Joseph, and David. Hailing from Terre Haute, Indiana, her family planted roots in Avon, Indiana, where Jane would spend most of her life. As a student of Avon High School, Jane orchestrated a symphony of activities that reflected her vibrant spirit. From the yearbook staff to the concert band, choir, pep club, drama, gymnastics, and roles as a teacher's aide and library assistant, Jane's high school years were a tapestry of diverse experiences. Affectionately known as Sweet Jane, her presence transcended a mere name. She became a beacon of positivity. It encapsulated a persona, an infectious joy, and a lighthearted personality. A Caucasian female standing tall at 5'8", with a slender frame of 115 pounds, Jane was fearless in various roles, including as a Girl Scout leader. Graduating in 1976 marked a proud crescendo in her high school chapter. Her long hair framed a distinctive appearance, and her warm smile had the magical ability to crinkle her eyes into crescent moons. Jane's laughter, like a melody, resonated through the corridors of her school and the hearts of those who knew her. In moments of frustration, she wielded her patience like a shield, refusing to let minor inconveniences dim the radiance of her overall positive outlook. Her dark brown hair had grown waist length since her last photograph. She wore a retainer, had four teeth removed, and the remainder straightened. Aside from a recent kidney or bladder infection, she was the picture of perfect health. Her long hair framed her distinctive features, and bearing a slight scar on her left cheek, near the corner of her mouth, a warm smile with the enchanting power to crinkle her eyes into crescent moons. Her emotional strength shone through as she gracefully navigated the challenges of her workplace. Determined and ambitious, 17-year-old Jane embarked on a career journey at Burger Chef, nurturing dreams of climbing the corporate ladder. While not a heavy user of alcohol or narcotics, she occasionally dabbled with her friend, referred to as Charlie, adding a layer of complexity to her otherwise driven personality. In the quiet moments outside of Burger Chef, a male friend would come to the back door several times, a subtle detail weaving into the fabric of Jane's life. Her dedication remained unwavering even when employees she trained were promoted ahead of her. Transferring to the Speedway location at the age of 20, her perseverance earned her a promotion to assistant manager at the Crawfordsville Road location in Speedway, Indiana, within 3 months. Frequent transfers and managerial fill-ins characterized her career, marked only by one missed night of work, the fateful first night of the Speedway bombings. However, an unforeseen storm of tragedy derailed her fast track to success, marking the end of a promising future after only 6 months at the Speedway location. Anticipation swirled around the annual Christmas party, a celebration she looked forward to with ambition. With no history of legal trouble, Jane's life was a canvas painted with dreams, laughter, and the unexpected twists of fate that would soon unfold on the chilling night of November 17, 1978. Ruth Ellen Shelton, born on December 19, 1960, to Rachel and John Shelton, emerged as a bright spirit destined for academic greatness. She grew up with her siblings, Teresa and Gordon. As a junior at Northwest High School, Ruth defied societal norms, excelling in STEM courses at a time when it was a rarity for girls. A secret struggle lay beneath the surface of this seemingly perfect life 3 years before that fateful night. While shopping with her father, Ruth was caught shoplifting a minor item at the turnstile. Later, her parents found several other items in her room, approximately $20 worth, and Ruth was forced to return all the items. The incident, though not reported to the police, marked a turning point. School grades improved, and no further problems were known, reflecting her ability to overcome challenges and learn from her mistakes. Ruth's name proudly graced the honor roll, a testament to her unwavering commitment to academic excellence. She maintained calm during tense situations, only to reveal her emotions afterward. With aspirations of reaching the emerging field of computer science, Ruth embarked on a journey of knowledge, pursuing a double major in business and mathematics. Ruth's brilliance extended beyond textbooks. Her creative spirit found expression in macrame projects and various crafts, seamlessly weaving artistry into the fabric of her academic pursuits. Music danced through her life as she embarked on voice lessons in September. Actively involved in her church, Eagledale Wesleyan Church, Ruth added her voice to the youth choir at Westside Church of the Nazarene. Her involvement in a fellowship studying the Book of Revelation showcased her intellectual curiosity and the depth of her spiritual interests. Her diary entries became a canvas, reflecting her love for family, commitment to excellence, and unyielding determination to excel. The Caucasian female stood 5 feet 4 inches and weighed 85 to 90 pounds with light auburn hair, blue eyes turning brown behind prescription glasses, a 1-inch scar on one forearm, and a small scar in the middle of her chin. As she navigated the complexities of adolescence, Ruth faced interpersonal challenges at work. Ruth showcased her dedication and strong work ethic during her part-time journey at Dunkin' Donuts. Even in the face of challenges such as the Speedway bombings, she continued to show up for work, demonstrating resilience that would become a defining characteristic of her character. In July of 1978, at 17, Ruth transitioned to a part-time position at the neighboring Burger Chef, seeking new challenges and opportunities. She had problems with Jane once because she would make her do all the dirty work, but when she complained, the problem was resolved. her dedication quickly caught the attention of her superiors, leading to responsibilities beyond expectations and prompting her resignation. However, little did she know that a seemingly routine decision to extend her stay for a few more weeks would tragically cut short her promising future. On December 31, 1961, Mark Sylvester Flemons, the youngest of seven children born to Blondell and Robert Flemons, was welcomed into the family. Growing up surrounded by two brothers, Robert Charles Flemons Jr. and Kevin M. Flemons, and four sisters, Deborah Griffin, Renee Graham, India Flemons, and Blondell Flemons Jr., Mark's upbringing was steeped in familial bonds. He was an African-American with a light brown complexion who stood 6 feet 1 inch and weighed 158 to 160 pounds. He had dark brown or black hair worn in a full afro, dark brown eyes, slight acne on his face near his cheekbones, a thin mustache, and even teeth. He had a small circular scar on the back of his hand just behind the knuckle of the right index finger. 7 or 8 years before that fateful night, he broke his right arm at the elbow and just above the wrist. His parents instilled in him values that would shape his character as he navigated the challenges of adolescence. Many people believed that Mark's father was strict. However, growing up in those times was not safe for African Americans. Therefore, others thought that Robert was trying to prevent his son from being a racial target. Mark had a quick temper and would not listen to his father. Mark's journey at Speedway High School began with initial struggles. Mark had two Caucasian male friends that his dad forbade him from hanging out with and restricted him to home. Mark then took a car without permission and left to take someone to school. While en route, he wrecked the car. His grades transformed after being placed on probation with Marion County juvenile authorities after being arrested on a shoplifting charge, igniting optimism for a promising future. Beyond academic pursuits, Mark's impeccable dress sense and friendly demeanor made him a standout presence, and a unique talent for lifting spirits surrounded him like an aura. Mark's interpersonal challenges extended beyond family dynamics to conflicts at school. He fought with a fellow student who snatched his hairpick, causing him to drop his books. The complexities of adolescence were further underscored by his attraction to Caucasian girls, which seemed to concern his parents. Complicating matters additionally were the tensions within Mark's family. His father, disapproving of Mark's relationship with a Caucasian female co-worker, forced him to quit his job 2 months prior when Mark failed to break off the relationship. Mark's father deemed the relationship troublesome, and it was only after Mark was assured that the girl no longer worked at Burger Chef that he was allowed to return. Before his return, he worked at the Kroger store located in the Speedway shopping center. Finding solace in the teachings of Jehovah's Witnesses, Mark embraced their values and principles, becoming a beacon of positivity in his community. However, his path turned turbulent at 16 when he worked as a short-order cook at Burger Chef. Mark was excited about returning to a role as a short-order cook and to his close friend Jane. Just 3 days into his return to Burger Chef, displaying dedication until an innocent shift swap for a co-worker's date night, he unknowingly brought his employment to a devastating end after 3 days. Born on September 6, 1962, to Norma and Richard Davis, Daniel Roy Davis's life was a tapestry woven with academic excellence, a passion for aviation, and an infectious cheerfulness that left an indelible mark on those around him. He resided in Speedway, Indiana. As an honor roll student, Daniel's dreams soared as high as the airplanes he was passionate about. His path to an Air Force career after high school was illuminated by academic achievements and a keen interest in capturing moments through his camera lens. With his very own darkroom, he transformed photographs into stories, blending his love for aviation and photography seamlessly. Described as an individual with infectious laughter and a penchant for sharing jokes, Daniel's presence brought joy to those fortunate enough to be a part of his world. Daniel's physical description painted a picture of a young Caucasian male with glasses, a scar on the top of his left hand from a burn, and a history of a broken left hand in eighth grade. Working part-time at Burger Chef since September 6, 1978, as a cook, Daniel was a loner passionate about photography, a member of the Civil Air Patrol, and an honor roll student with a B average. He attended Decatur Central High School, took computer courses at Ben Davis High School in the afternoons, and drove home or to Burger Chef after school. Despite his parents' desire for him to quit and take a job closer to home, Daniel liked working at Burger Chef, a sentiment that went against his parents' wishes. His social circle was limited to those in the Civil Air Patrol, as he didn't go out much and wasn't involved in other groups. Daniel, characterized by his passion, dedication, and infectious cheerfulness, was last seen on that fateful night, leaving a void in the hearts of those who knew him. His life, though brief, left an enduring legacy that extended beyond the confines of his hobbies, school, and the fast-paced world of Burger Chef. These individuals, once thriving with dreams, became victims of an unsolved crime that left their ambitions and aspirations forever unfulfilled. The Burger Chef murders of November 17, 1978, left a lasting impact not only on the lives of the victims and their families, but also on the legacy of Burger Chef itself. The unsolved nature of the crime adds a haunting layer to the company's history, a tragic chapter that lingers in the shadows of its once bright promise.
Thank you for choosing to support Allegedly Evident. If you enjoyed this episode, like, follow, and share. We love to hear from the community. Feel free to share your thoughts and opinions in the comment section.